I would like to read today to you from the Sanat Kumar Sanghita. It's a wonderful little work in 321 verses, and describes, like all Sanghitas do, a certain secret Vedic knowledge. The book opens with a pilgrimage. Narada Muni arrives here in Vrindavan at the banks of the river Jamuna, and there he meets, absorbed in deep meditation, Lord Sadashiva. And he approaches Lord Shiva and asks questions. For instance, he starts with a description of Kali Yuga, and that people are so very unfortunate, and he asks for a mantra which can help him. And Lord Sadashiva gives him an answer to this. He basically tells him about the Gopal mantra, which is also described in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and which some of you have taken your initiation in. And he also tells him about the Maha Mantra and tells him how the Maha Mantra must be chanted in order to yield fruits. He says, Narada Muni, when you chant this mantra, you must think about the meaning of the mantra. My dear Lord, please engage me in your service again. Huh? And you should be so moved in your heart that while chanting it, you constantly weep. That's the method how to chant this mantra, according to this book. Now then, in text 141, he tells him about many things. In one Kartik, I believe last Kartik, I gave lectures on this book, and if you are interested, I think the lectures are available. He talks about one big subject is the qualifications for initiation, the process of initiation, and the sacraments of initiation. That means the five powerful ingredients which must be there in a proper initiation. And he also tells him this prayer of the surrendered soul and the Adi Purusha. We have kept a place for and yes, what is very nice is he has described the external activities of the devotees, but also the internal activities of the devotees. These are really very, very important subjects. And then I will not go through all these subjects now, but I will go to text 141. Where Sadashiva says, now I will tell you a secret. Hey, you're with your mind somewhere else. I will say it again for Malini Priya, the best of the spaced out. Now I will tell you a very wonderful secret. A secret I directly heard from Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Sadashiva has heard a secret from Krishna, and now he will tell it. First he starts to describe how he came to understand the secret. He says, in the past I lived deep in the forest on Mount Kailash summit. There I was chanting the jewel of mantras and my meditation was on Lord Narayan. Pleased with me, the Lord appeared in my meditation and he said, "You may ask a boon now." Sarashiva saw Lord Narayan in his meditation. He suddenly opened his eyes and there he saw that the Lord was not only inside his heart, but he saw the Lord standing on Garuda with Lakshmi to his side. And he bowed down again and again. Sadashiva bows down. Then he asks a question. And the secret which we will now hear is all about this question of Sadashiva. He says, "O Supreme Controller, O Ocean of Mercy, I wish that with my own eyes I can see you in your original form, the best of your forms, the form which the great sages worship as your eternal and original form. And I want to see this form in the ocean of bliss," that means your dharma, your own dharma, "beyond the modes of nature, beyond material activities, peaceful and spiritual." So imagine Lord Narayan has appeared standing on Garuda, Lakshmi to the side, and there is his devotee who says, "Maybe that's not your original form. Could you show me your original form?" But Lord Narayan was pleased, it's described. Prasanna. He smiled and he said, "Okay, today you will see that form in that abode." Are you also speaking Gauranatha?
No, I remember this.
Yeah,
so
but you are speaking, sense. Yeah. Maybe you should. Or you give the class. You maybe decide, yes. So he smiles and then he says, "I will show you the form which you desire." And then he says, "Go, cello, cello! No longer Kailash, no longer the mountain. Go to the place named Vrindavan, which is on the western shore of the Jamuna, and you will see everything you need to see there." And then saying this, Lord Narayan, with Lakshmi next to him, disappears. Shiva continues, "Then I went to the beautiful shore of the Yamuna. There, all of a sudden, I saw Lord Krishna, the master of the demigods. But I saw him as a cowherd youth. He was charming. And his left hand he had placed lovingly on the shoulder of his beloved. Lord Krishna stood in the midst of many gopis. He was laughing and he was making them laugh." "His heart was filled with love. He looked like a great palace of splendor, auspiciousness, and virtues. Prahasya means he was smiling. Krishna has three different ways of smiling. One is you don't see the teeth. The second is seeing the teeth. And then Krishna's, that's where devotees like to meditate very much. Krishna breaks out in uncontrolled laughter." So he said, "Oh Shiva, I could understand your desire. That is why I have now come before your eyes. Look at me. This is my original form. A form beyond the world of matter. A form filled with intense and pure love. A form which is eternal and filled with knowledge and bliss. In the Upanishads, it is sometimes said that I am formless, without qualities, all-pervading. But this is just said in order to make it clear that none of my qualities are material. My qualities are there, but they are limitless and eternal. No one can understand them perfectly or completely. That is why the Upanishads say I have no qualities. But Shiva, this form of mine cannot be seen by material eyes. That is why the Vedas say I am formless. You must know I pervade with a simple spark of my glories the whole creation. O Shiva, there's creation. But I, who am the father of creation, don't create it myself. It's done by one of my parts and parcels. I personally do something else than creating, maintaining and destroying this world. Oh, Shiva, listen. And then Krishna tells him a secret of his heart. O humble and respectful one, I am overcome with love for the gopis. I do not know anything else. I do not even know my own self. Please understand the truth of my beloved, the Supreme Goddess Sri Radha. I enjoy pastimes with her eternally. She has conquered me with her love. O Shiva, see how hundreds and thousands of her friends surround us. As I am eternal, so are also these friends. My Gopa friends, my parents, my cows, and the land named Sri Vrindavan are all eternal. They are spiritual, blissful, and sweet like nectar. Know that my Vrindavan is filled with bliss. One who enters it never again enters the world of birth and death. One who, after entering my forest, leaves and then goes somewhere else is a great fool. I think only Srimati here is free from this foolishness. No, you are staying here in this. Damodar Vyas and Madhavi and their children also are free from this foolishness to leave Vrindavan. O Shiva, it is as if he killed his own soul. Of this there is no doubt. You know what, Shiva? I never take even a single step out of Vrindavan. Accompanied by my Sri Radha, I stay here eternally. Thus, I have told you everything which is there to know. O Shiva, speak what is in your heart. What more do you wish to hear? You are all shocked. I'm reading this with of course, I've thought about this very, very, very deeply. Yes, that's what the Lord says. And you can hear this message is consistent with other messages in other scriptures. It is not the only
work where this is said.
Oh, best of sages, then I... So Krishna says, is there any other question you want to know? And then I said to him, oh Krishna, I'm so attracted to your form, but tell me, how can one attain you? How can I reach you? Please tell me the way which goes to you. Now there are many, I think, what would you say, do you have any idea what Krishna could now tell him? Narada Muni, no, sorry, Shiva, his dear devotee wants to know, how do I reach you? How do you, do I attain you? How do, you might say, well, he's just standing before Krishna, but that's something else. Attaining is, you know, there is a firm relationship, there is, it will not be broken, you will not go from there. How do I, madgatvananivatante, will reach and not return from there? So I will not ask you for answers, because I don't think anyone here would on the first attempt find it, and I think this, we should listen to this Shastra. Then Lord Krishna said to me, oh Shiva, by the way, do you sometimes want to attain Radha Krishna or no? It is in your mind sometimes. Good. So, oh Shiva, you have spoken well. I will tell you now a great secret. Please carefully conceal it. Don't tell it to anyone. Sakrit avam prapanoyas tyakto paya upasate gopi bhavina devesha samangeti na cetara. A person who renounces everything else and surrenders once to me and to Shri Radha, he doesn't take his surrender back, that is implied, huh? And who worships us, Radha and Krishna, exactly as the gopis worship us, attains us. No one else attains us. O Shiva, a person who surrenders to me, but not to my beloved Radha, never attains me. This I tell you. A person, on the other hand, who once surrenders to her, Radha, and tells her, Radha, I am yours, attains me also without doing anything further. Of this there is no doubt. Therefore, O Shiva, a person who desires to conquer me should surrender with all his heart to my beloved. In this way, one becomes dear to me. And then Krishna says, almost as if he is sorry for what he has given away, he says, I have spoken to you this very great secret. O Shiva, please hide this with great care. Take shelter of my beloved Radha. Chant my two mantras and always stay in my abode. Then Lord Krishna tells him the two mantras. It's the Gopal mantra and another derivation from the Gopal mantra into Shiva's ear, and because he said it so secretly, I don't want to tell the mantras out loud. I think that I have no right, even though we are in Vrindavan. If you want to know them, you have to read this book. My dear devotees, this is Braj Bhakti. Krishna says we should worship him like the gopis. We should go to the foremost gopi, Radha. Why? Listen very carefully. There are many different concepts of Krishna. There's Krishna,
in the Bhagavatam it is said he has three aspects. He's the Brahman, the all-pervading Paramatma, and Bhagavan. But then we hear further in the Goswami scriptures that this Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, also has a high aspect, the higher aspect, and the highest aspect, or the perfect form, the more perfect form, and the perfectest test form, if this is an English word. No? The first form which you can learn in this gradation is the Lord of Dvaraka, surrounded in opulence, praised by the demigods, who resides in 16,108 palaces at the same time. You know, a very inconceivable form. Then, more perfect than this, the Lord of Mathura, you know, the Lord who also lives in a palace, who is there to vanquish the demons like Jarasandha and his army, and who protects the pious, who delivers this world from the great burden called Kamsa. No? This Lord is there. But even more perfect, perfectest this form, I don't know how to say it in English, the most perfect form, is the Lord of Vrindavan, who plays in the courtyards of the devotees he loves. When he's a baby, he crawls in the mud, and which is mixed with the cow dung of the cows, which is sweetened by Sri urine of the cows, you know, and he crawls in, the English word is in the murky means muddy courtyards. The pure Brahmanas, my dear devotees, who have the most purified sacrificial altars, will, with their chanting of Vedic hymns, never get this Lord. The Lord doesn't leave the courtyards of his devotees in Braj. He doesn't come. When the Lord was no longer a baby, but a child, he would run after the cows here in Braj, and the calves. He would shout the names of the calves. Come here, oh cow, Dawali, come here. He would, and sometimes he would drink with his own mouth directly from the udders of these most fortunate cows. But when the saints of the Vedic hymns, you know, chant this, Purusha Evedam Gum Sahamam, you know, with great brimborium, he doesn't appear before them. When he was a young Kaishora boy, he wants to serve the gopis. Sometimes when the gopis are tired of his clever nature, he hides himself, yes, and not hides, he disguises, I wanted to say, as the daughter of a barber. Barber in India also make the feet, you know, they, in Deutsch we say Fußmaniküre, you know, they manicure or whatever they pedicure, thank you, the feet and the nails, you know. So he says, I'm the best of the foot pedicures, pedicures. I'm the barber's daughter. Not barber, barber, you know, who shaves. And I'm that, and I think your Radharani might like my services. I'm very, very expert at this. You know. So he goes after the gopis to render service in Braj. But the saints, when they call him my master, Krishna is reserved. He's not so easily responding. But he runs after the love of his devotees. There's one deity which we visited yesterday. The curtain was closed, but we could feel the ecstatic form of the deity. His name is Prem Bika Krishna. Bika means the beggar of love of his devotees. That is Krishna. And because here in Braj, Krishna is surrounded by the most loving devotees, right, who have the most love for him, Krishna, who wants to taste the love of the devotees, never leaves Braj. This is the kingdom of love. And I would like to tell you how to, what happened today. I read recently a wonderful letter which Srimati wrote, where she wrote one chapter, Unsolicited Lessons by the Brajvasis. So I also got an unsolicited lesson today. You know, I was in, my bag is not so good, so I was going out, I had rest, and I went out of the gate, and we went just through Vrindavan, just walking easily. And then I saw a very poor beggar lady. She had one of these, I don't know how to say it, the bicycle, how do we call these wheels, and it's four of the wheels, and it's like a table, and they push it, and on it, this table or cart, we could say bicycle cart, maybe we can say like this, they have vegetables and to sell, you know, you have maybe seen. This lady was very poor, and I inspected from 100 meters, I had already seen the trees, and I had seen already everything, and so I saw this lady, and I looked at her wares. Maybe I thought we could buy a little potatoes from her. So I looked as I came closer. And these were very old vegetables. They were not vegetables which we wanted to purchase. They were, really it was a beggar's lady, and she didn't have a very good Turkish connection. Turkish sabji wallahs are the best in Europe. You know, they always get somehow the best vegetable from somewhere. So it was not like the vegetable. And you could see she lived from it. It was small. She went behind this table. All of a sudden, I saw a scene which really taught me a lesson. I saw a big fat monkey. He jumped from somewhere and then grabbed one of these few eggplants from the lady, and the lady went, you know, trying to chase him away, but was too late, and the monkey came galloping in our direction, and you know, I had a back pain, so I didn't want to wrestle with the monkey now and return the vegetables, so I shrugged my shoulders and looked to the lady, and I thought she would be now angry and disturbed that someone had stolen one of her few eggplants. And she had voice, she had a sad laugh when the monkey came. But then a moment later she just laughed. She just laughed and laughed at the monkey. And she went like this to me, and I said, Krishna's panda, it's Krishna's monkey. And then she said, just like one of these gopis, Krishna chora. Krishna is a thief. Krishna has stolen butter and mishri. Krishna is a thief. What do you expect from Krishna's monkeys? If the master is a thief, then the subordinates are also thieves. And I was just looking at this lady, and I didn't want to inconvenience her, but in my mind I paid my dandavats to the lady, because this is how to look at how to be in Braj consciousness. You think of Krishna, you think of Radha and Krishna, and you see everywhere Radha and Krishna are coming when you think like this. When you think of me, my problem, you know, then that is in your own world, you are in your own world. But if you can think of Krishna, like the, and really like the gopis are thinking, he's a thief, you know. Then this is what the older lady said. And I immediately began to think, wow, it's so good here. I just need to stay with this elderly lady. I will walk, I will hide behind the wall so that she doesn't see me. And I will just watch her and follow her footsteps. And then I will learn from the bridge Parsi boys. Then I will learn everything and so on. Then we continued to walk. And I forgot about the incident. And we sat at a very nice place. But then today is the only day which I have reserved to go to purchase books. So I was a little bit in anxiety. Will I get to the bookshop? It's such a long road still to go, and my bag is not good today. And how will I reach there? Then I thought, anyways, here's everything, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And the next thing is a car stops, and the two people sing songs about Krishna in the car, and they, I think Gaurahari must have stopped them. I was just somewhere, you know, answering nature's call. So this car is stopping, and the people sing songs of Suodas and in the song, and then the man says, who owns the car, today is Bunky Bihari's happy birthday. Today is Bunky Bihari's happy birthday. And you are devotees of the Lord of Vrindavan. Where do you want to go? We shall drive you. And I thought, oh Krishna. I felt ashamed, because when I was in the bushes, you know, doing my little, you know what, the small toilet activity, I had thought, oh Krishna, I need to buy these books. How do I get there? You know? And I felt so ashamed, because it's such a small thing to ask for transportation. You know? We were just somewhere, and there was no hope of transportation where we were. But I also felt Krishna is really in Vrindavan. He never steps out of Vrindavan. And he somehow wishes to serve his devotees. Today is his happy birthday. You know. And he wishes to please his devotees, even if they have very tiny matters, you know, like transportation issues, you know. And I was just thinking about this, which is so much prominent in my thoughts, really, during this Kartik Vrata. I have really seen many, many times the small incidences and big incidences that there really is a Krishna, and that he really loves his devotees. Even those who just try to become his devotees, and he protects them, and he totally is responsive to their call. It's really in Vrindavan, very obvious. And therefore, when I hear, only the fools leave Vrindavan. I feel that's right. Why can one leave? Of course, I could now argue, yes, we seva, service, and yes, outside of Vrindavan, yes, Vrindavan is everywhere by some stretch of the imagination, you know, and, Vrindavan consciousness, you know. I have preached for 40 years to devotees to not stay in Vrindavan. I know all the arguments real good, you know, because I was often very successful. But I also begin to think, I begin to think of one little method. I have brought this method with me. It's in here, the method. What is that? Is it, is this arson or kill yourself? You know arson? Is it poison? You know? No, no. This is Brajaraj. Dust of Vrindavan. This is dust of Vrindavan. One can take this dust of Vrindavan, then every day just pay one's obeisances in the dust while facing Vrindavan. Somehow we have to get the compass and face Vrindavan. And then you will just pay your obeisances to Vrindavan, go with your head in the dust, and then pray, my dear king and queen of Vrindavan, I'm here doing your seva in the West as ordered by my exalted spiritual master. But please know me to be one of yours. I belong to you only, and I long to come to you only. I only want to be with you, and I will do now the seva which is important, because it is my own spiritual master has left Sri Vrindavan Dham to give benefit to the conditioned soul in this world, and I know I need his blessings, so I will do his seva, but I will but my head will sleep in the direction of Vrindavan. My first obeisances will be in the direction of Vrindavan. My head will be decorated with the dust of Vrindavan, where you have walked, Radha and Krishna. This dust is touched by the feet of Radha and Krishna. Do you know? Therefore, it's very special. It's touched by God's feet. And in this way, slowly practice Vrindavan consciousness. Like our Srila Prabhupada, when he was in New York, I think I told you often, he was asked by one lady of New York, Swamiji, are you here with us? You know, like, are you here? Are you present? Are you, or are you absent? Are you somewhere? Prabhupada says, no, I'm in Vrindavan. I never leave that place at the bank of the river Jamuna. Sureka, you're sleeping.
No,
just think so how good. I can only warn you, don't sit close to me. I'm a little energetic by nature. So, yes, this is very, very much in my mind these days, cultivating Vrindavan consciousness, thinking of Vrindavan and serving Vrindavan Dham, and making a relationship. And my dear devotees, it took me many years to understand. I remember the first time I was in Vrindavan, everything was so overwhelming that I had been grown up as a brahmachari and only a certain style of living, and I remember I sometimes just didn't leave my room, you know, it was just so overwhelming. When I step out of the door, then monkeys, the people, the customs, the sun, the everything. At that time, also we didn't know that we shouldn't drink the well water of Vrindavan. So there was another reason why I didn't leave the door. had to be in 1 meter distance from the bathroom. You know. That was maybe the main reason, actually. And then I thought, okay, 2 more weeks before I'm back in Germany. Now it's 13 more days. God, that's 1 day less. And then it's 12 more days. Then it's 11. And yoo-hoo! Now I just let me sleep a little bit more, then the days go faster. But now it has changed. I guess because I came to Vrindavan and I somehow I did understand from Srila Prabhupada's books that this is the land of Seva. Nanda Baba serves Krishna, gopis serve Krishna, the sakas, the servants, the cows, even the stick serves Krishna. I heard even the rice serves Krishna. When Krishna is served rice, then the rice enters his mouth, beautiful mouth, and enters his stomach. But then the rice thinks, oh, my service is done. Now I'm in the belly. So it jumps again into the rice pot to be again able to serve Krishna. Yamasaki, you are delighted and surprised. Yes, it's the land of service. Even the rice serves Krishna. So this is the service, the land of service. And somehow when we are here, we can do service. And I always think, I have somehow great faith that Krishna is in the holy name. That is what Prabhupada has informed us, and that is what the great acharyas say. So I serve the name form, the most merciful form of Krishna when in Vrindavan. And I also like to serve the devotees by explaining the shastras to them and so on. I want to conclude this evening's reading. Can someone please tell me what is the exact time?
5 to 8.
I'm sorry?
5 to 8.
5 to 8? Mm-hmm. Are you sure? 7 to 8. Because we want to know now what is Krishna doing at this time. Is this of interest or is it not a good sign? Five to 7 to 8, or now it's 6, right? What?
Still 7.
Vrindavan is the place where time doesn't even move for 1 second. Krishna meets the cows. This is what's going on now. Krishna beamed a soft, sweet smile. He offered his respects to his father before entering the courtyard. The beauty of Lord Krishna's lovely face paled the radiance of a million full moons. Krishna's face is more effulgent than a million full moons. Not, oh my God, this is very, very effulgent. A million full moons. Various assistants were around Krishna and glorified him. And Krishna sat down on a stool and put on his jeweled sandals. His sandals, there's jewels. So he sits down while he smiles. A moonbeam smile. Oh, God. Then Krishna walked towards the Goshala, and his servants followed him. One servant carried pitchers of water. Krishna might be thirsty. Another had a betel nut casket. Other servants were there with fans. And others had sticks and ropes for tying the cows, you know, because when Krishna milks the cows, they will be tied a little so that they are there. Krishna rested his left arm on the shoulder of a friend. While accepting an attractive tambula from another friend with his right hand, Krishna continued chewing on that tasty tambula while he was walking towards the Goshala. And he smiles. Then he joyfully entered the Goshalas. Now, while all this goes on, Krishna puts on his jewels and walks to the Goshala. He's watched by one small girl. Her name is Tulasi, who follows him, but in a way that Krishna cannot see her. And then the little girl has seen enough. She runs to Radharani and says, "Do you know what I just saw?" "I know," says Radha, who's lying on a bed in deep feelings of separation. No, please. "I saw Lord Hari, your beloved, putting on his jewels, his sandals with jewels." "Oh," says Radha, "please pour more nectar of Harikatha in my ears so that I can survive this separation from Krishna." And then she tells him everything she saw. When Radha heard that Krishna had gone to milk the cows, she left her in-law's house on the pretext of bathing in Pavana Sharova. So there they go. Pavana Sharova is very close to Nanda Maharaj's palace, you know, and she sees how Krishna walks on the street coming towards the Goshala. How can she see it? Well, she climbs a watchtower which is in Pavana Sarova shore, and from there she sees this. And the gopis are with her. They drink with their eyes the nectar of Krishna's moon-like face, which beams this soft smile. And then, would you like to see what Radha sees of Krishna?
Yes.
Now this is very important. It's more valuable to see Krishna through the eyes of his devotees, because the devotees see with the eyes of love, and only with the eyes of love can you see all of Krishna's beauty. With the eyes of no love, you can't see anything. Radha is totally surcharged in bliss, and she asks, "Are the golden strings that tie the pearls to Krishna's turban, which covers his curly locks, slightly moving?" So, okay, Krishna has a turban. On the turban, you can see, mostly it's a red turban, but you can see that it, like, on the turban, there is a golden string which goes through white pearls, and in this way, on the turban there is a row of wild pearls. And Radharani looks at these pearls and thinks, "Is this moving a little?" Of course it moves, because Krishna moves. "Or is it lightning?" She... "Which is bound at its roots by constellations, while the rising sun's rays
swallow the dense darkness above the moon. I know this is dense poesy, and you will, what? Lightning, moon, dense darkness, what is here going on? Pain. When you are more advanced, you will understand what this means. I will not go into detail now. Oh, Saki! The earrings swinging on Syama's cheeks, which destroy the darkness of the gopis' chastity, are not earrings. No, they are two rays of light trying to please us by dancing. However, they cannot stand in front of Krishna's moon-like face. In other words, the earrings give a light and they dance on Krishna's cheek. And this would appear to make Krishna's cheeks full of light. But this is not true, because Krishna's cheeks are more effulgent than 1 million moons. So they really reflect the light on the earrings. That's the idea here. So they talk like this. The gopis talk very high poesy. And then I will end with one very nice discussion. Radharani sees how Krishna makes the cows. The prince of Braj squats on the ground to milk the cows and holds a golden milk bucket between his knees. Do you know what squats means? It means a little bit like he sits like this. This is called squatting. He's like this. There's a golden milk bucket between his knees. He goes chup 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 chup. No, this is wrong. You have to get this right. Just observe how the milk in the bucket reflects Yama's gorgeous face. The milk bucket reflects on the golden bucket. You can see Krishna's face, which appears like the moon rising from the ocean of milk. Krishna's turban loosens slightly from touching the cow's belly. You know, so it gets a little out of shape. At that moment, his curly locks slip out from under his turban like a swarm of bumblebees. And his lotus eyes stop dancing. So Krishna first worships Mother Earth with a few squirts of milk. Squirk, squirk, squirk. He wets his fingers and the cow's udder with a few more drops. Psst, psst. Govinda moves his hands up and down to milk the cows. The milk splashing into the bucket makes the sound shana, shana, shana. Shana. The unmilked cows raise their ears out of eagerness to be milked. Krishna's hips and thighs are marked with pure white drops of milk. You know, some of it, you know, jumps in the milk pail, the bucket, but then because it comes so forcefully, it comes out and touches Krishna's thighs, and we can understand. This means his dhoti is wetted, and the gopis can see now through the wet dhoti of Krishna some of his most beautiful thighs. The cows and calves with tear-filled eyes bend their necks to drink the nectar of Syama's beautiful youthful form. Oh, Saki, just see how your lover milks the cows. That's what the gopis say to Radharani. My dear devotees, please become interested in Krishna. To become interested in Krishna, what he does, how he sports in Vrindavan, which is the ocean of love, you know, all this, whatever you hear about Krishna's and Radharani's activities in Raj, be it milking that cows, or paying obeisances to Nanda Maharaj, or the gopis climbing up the watchtowers to see Krishna, it's all about love. We are all entangled in our own insignificant love stories, most of which have failed. There's a man amongst us who was twice divorced. Ooh. You know, there's a woman amongst us who is divorced, who has cried a bucket full of tears at her divorce. I was seeing the bucket. You know, we all are caught in our own imaginary hopes to be satisfied with love. There is love between devotees of Krishna when there's Krishna in the center. Let us join the Krishna center, and then our unfortunate attempts to find love in a world which is just not constructed to fulfill our ideals and hopes. I lost the line, but what I want to say is, let us join this type of loving adventure to go to Krishna, and let us take the devotees with us, and on the way we should be affectionate to Krishna's devotees. We should care for them. This is also said in the scriptures, that this is not a diversion. It is not something which brings us away from Krishna. No, but it is good, and Krishna is satisfied. Let us, however, see that Krishna is in the center, and that Krishna's pleasure is there. Then maybe one day we will open our own little golden book of secrets, where we find the secrets which are of spiritual life. This is what I wanted to say today. I want to very heartedly, full-heartedly invite you for tomorrow at 5:00. And I think it will be something extraordinary, that workshop. I want to try to make a workshop in India. I'm not yet, I'm an adventurous person, but I don't. In the workshops in the West, I do all kinds of things, but in India, I'm so careful, because it's the land of Krishna. Yeah. So let us sing a little bit, and then this is a short meeting, and I will then speak to the best of Purushas, the Adi Purusha, Prabhu. What is our melody? No problem?
No.
you want, please go to a place where you can concentrate in your mind, maybe before the deities, when there are not so many people in the temple. Sing the Sambandha. Hare Krishna. A little deeper, deeper again. Even if we are so high, then when the Maharajis think, sing, the roof will crack. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. I'm sorry, we have it in a moment. Deeper, deeper, Gaura Hari. Yes, we are. It's winter. It's winter.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Jai 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 Jai